Today, I have a really special program to share with you. My very good friends, Don and Wendy Crow, are going to be sharing with you by video a testimony about their daughter, Vita, who was raised from the dead. Now, Don and Wendy have worked with me. They're on staff here. Also, their son, Stephen Crow, he works in our computer department. But actually, I met Don back, I believe, about 1971. I was actually conducting a Bible study, and Don came to that Bible study, and he was a student at Dallas Theological Seminary. And the things I was saying about the baptism of the Holy Ghost really rubbed him the wrong way. And I remember he got me, it was in a person's home that we were holding this Bible study. He got me and took me aside, and we went up into a bedroom, and for an hour he reamed me out about the baptism of the Holy Ghost being of the devil. But you know what? In his heart, I could tell that he was really seeking. He had just been taught one way, and this had unsettled him. So I shared with him, and it's a long story, but over a period of the next month or two, Don himself received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we began a lifelong relationship. Actually, Don was the best man in my wedding. And he, when I tell people that he was in my wedding, he likes to say that he was the ring bearer, but no, he was the best man. And so we've been good friends with Don for a long time. I was present at his wedding when he married Wendy. And then he came and he was an associate pastor with me in Childress, Texas. And for 2 years, we went through some hard times establishing this little church, and we learned a lot of things together. And it's a long story, but basically God just spoke to me 25 years ago and told me that Don was my Timothy. Just as Paul said that he had no man who was like-minded who would naturally care for their states as Timothy. That's the way that Don is. Don is a guy that God has just called us to minister together. And so we have been ministering together nearly full-time for 30 years. And I tell you, this man has a heart for God. He knows the Word of God. He's a tremendous man, and he has an experience that he's going to be sharing with you on this video today about where his twin daughters were born and what took place. Malachi says that the reason that God brought a man and woman together was to produce a godly seed, and so Wendy and I really believe that.
Having children and raising a family and being a mother and a wife is what I feel my ministry is. And it's the most important thing to me in my life. And so being pregnant was like God giving me the desires of my heart.
And we were looking to produce a godly seed, and we planned our children, and we had a boy, and now we're looking for a girl.
I had previously had a home birth, and that went well. And then I had planned on another home birth, so we found a doctor that would help us have a home birth. Until in the 6 month, two heartbeats were discovered.
Now, I just want to say that we're not some weirdos that don't believe in any doctors. If it wasn't for medical doctors, I think people many times would die, and people break bones, they need to be set, and all kinds of things. So we weren't against the medical profession, but it was really the desire of Wendy.
And I really felt that I had to have a home birth. I really felt impressed by the Lord that it was really important.
So what happened was, is that we met a, there was a friend, a Christian lady that was a friend of ours that was practicing to be a midwife, and she was being trained under this other lady.
I would meet with one midwife once a week, and we would pray together. And she was in training under the other midwife, who was a high-risk midwife, who worked in a maternity center for high-risk birth and had delivered twins, many twins.
Wendy and I were having a difficulty, not in our relationship, not in our marriage, but we had been in the ministry for a while. And I had brought some brothers in the Lord with me that had a desire to minister, and I was trying to raise them up. And somewhere in that scenario, there became a little bit of jealousy between the brothers, and a little bit of division. And the next thing I know that there was some strife. And Wendy and I were doing everything possible we could do to keep strife out of our lives. And Wendy was pregnant, and we knew that strife can produce some real bad results.
The doctors called and discouraged us from doing this. They tried to scare us, tell us, you better not do this. It's, you know, you could lose a baby or lose your own life.
We were abandoned by some of our close friends, people that, like David said, we walked to the temple with, we prayed with, and things like this. So it was a very difficult time when Wendy was pregnant. Spiritually, we were on really in tune with the Lord, but in our relationship with people, we were really trying to walk in the light and walk in forgiveness. But there was a lot of things that was happening at this time that was causing a lot of hurt.
I was seeking the Lord and praying and knowing that God was going to bring forth my babies. I had studied the scriptures about childbirth. I had them memorized, all the scriptures, and they were so real to me. But I knew that it would be Jesus that brought my baby forth, and in this case, babies, that He would give me, bring these babies forth, and I saw myself holding two babies. I would continually see myself with two babies. It was always my focus.
I spent a lot of time in prayer late at night, just praying over the things that were happening around us, trying to avoid spiritual pitfalls of unforgiveness and things like this. And at the same time, I was intently seeking the Lord.
At one point, I had been praying in the Spirit, and it was like the Lord gave me the interpretation, and it was 1 Timothy 2:15, that she shall be kept safe in childbearing. And that word safe meant to be brought forth safely to the end. And I just really believed that in my heart. That's what I was standing on, was that rhema word that God had given me, that she would be kept safe in childbearing and I would be kept safe in childbearing, that God would take care of everything.
So Wendy had all the necessary checkups and things like that as her pregnancy went on. The babies grew and developed very, very much, and it got to a point where Wendy outgrew her maternity clothes, and then she had to make larger clothes, and it got to a point I couldn't even get my arms around my wife.
I prayed for normal size babies because I knew that if they were premature, that would be a danger. So I prayed for normal size babies for full term pregnancy, and I got it. At 3:30 in the morning on December 14th, I began having labor pains, and it was hard to distinguish them because for the previous 2 months, the Braxton Hicks contractions were just as strong because of the babies and their weight and having a full load there. But at by 7 in the morning, my water had broke, and I called the midwives to come and the people that were going to help us. We had a team of people that were going to be there for us to help us with everything that needed to be done. And I walked for as long as I could walk during my contractions, and I stayed up probably till about noon. And then it became much stronger, and I needed to go back to the birthing room we had set up.
Back in 1981, we didn't have camcorders, but we did have cassette tapes. And so what we had decided to do is that we would actually tape the whole birth. And so I had a cassette recorder going there that went through this whole thing from the time it started to the time it ended.
9, 10, that's it.
So once we were there, the contractions were even stronger, and it came to the place where it was time to push the babies out.
Go ahead and push it.
Our first child, and we just called him baby number one and baby number two. First child started to come.
Oh, a girl!
And she was born at about 2:11 in the afternoon. And she weighed 7 pounds and 8 ounces.
She was a beautiful little girl, perfectly developed in every way, just a beautiful little baby girl.
Sure to mommy, and mommy's gonna have some more work to do here shortly.
They gave me the baby to hold, and I held her for just a couple minutes, and then the next contraction began.
The second child started to come, and as she began to come, she was coming, I guess what medical professions call it, frank breech. Her little bottom was trying to come. And
the midwife pushed her back up and grabbed her feet and pulled her out. And when you do that, it compresses their lungs, and they can get fluid in their lungs. But that wasn't happening with this baby. The cord was already compressed and white, like it had already been clamped off while she was in the womb, so she never tried to breathe.
She didn't cry. There was no movement from her. Her little body was kind of a blue color from a lack of oxygen. And she was what the medical profession would call stillborn. We were all in shock. And so the midwife was very knowledgeable, and she grabbed this little child and she hit her about as hard as I've ever seen anybody hit somebody else on her bottom, just slapped her really hard, thinking that she might cause her somehow to breathe.
Come on.
Nothing happened, no response. So she suctioned her, put oxygen on her, and she did all of these medical procedures, and she worked with her, and she was working frantically.
And
she just did everything medically that possibly could be done. And then finally there was a period of time after she did everything that she knew to do, she more or less came to the end of herself and the end of her resources and the end of her knowledge, and she just laid the baby down.
And I was watching all this, and in my mind I'm thinking, I have two babies. I'm going to hold two babies. And
I looked over at my wife. I remember looking over at my wife, and I remember seeing her, and she was kind of like, I don't know, the expression on her face was like, I don't know, like, well, I guess that's probably the way all of our faces were, the expression on our face. We didn't know what to do.
We had not chosen any names yet because we wanted to pray about it and think about it. And after the baby, the second baby that was born, wasn't breathing, and the midwife had done everything she could, it was like she gave up, and she asked us to name the baby. And she came from a background of probably New Age, and she wore a pendant that had the moon goddess on it. So she was obviously not a believer. And we were okay with that, but we prayed for her a lot. And what happened when she said that, it was like it went past us, and we didn't have any inclination to do that.
The midwife gave up. Set the baby down, and I thought to myself, you know, we're going to bury this little child here in a few days. But before that happens, I would like to hold her, just hold her in my arms for a few minutes.
Don reached out to touch her, and when he did, there was something around the baby, and it threw him back, and his hands went stiff, and we all watched, wondering what is going on here, and he'd look at his hands and he'd look at the baby.
When my hands touched her, I was actually physically attacked, okay? Now, I was physically attacked. Now, there was a lot of people in the room that saw this happen. I was physically attacked from what the Bible calls an unclean spirit or a demonic spirit. When I touched that little girl, there was a spirit, an unclean spirit that hit me, kind of knocked me back, and it paralyzed me. And I looked at myself, and I was paralyzed. My hands were paralyzed, and I knew in my mind that what we were dealing with was not a natural thing that was taking place here. Okay? But there was actually something over that little child that the Bible would call an unclean spirit or a demonic spirit. And when I touched that little carcass, that thing attacked me.
And he realized this was a spiritual battle he was in, and it wouldn't matter if he named the baby or not. What he needed was the name of Jesus.
And I began to fight. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command life into this child now in Jesus' name. And I command death to go.
In the name of the Lord Jesus. Satan, I command your death to flee in the name of the Lord Jesus. You live now in Jesus' name. Live. Breathe in Jesus' name.
He commanded her to breathe. And she took her first breath.
And when I said that, then this little child went, just like that. She took one breath.
But she didn't keep breathing.
I said, breathe in the name of the Lord Jesus.
We continued to pray.
And so I said it again. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command life into you. In the name of Jesus Christ and death, you must go. And when I said that again, then the child went, and she started breathing, and then she continued to breathe.
It was 4 minutes.
Right.
From the time she was born until she started breathing on her own, and probably 4 minutes in the womb before she got out, so it was 8 minutes without air.
You know, and I know, and people watching this program today know that after a period of about 3 minutes, 2.5, 3 minutes without oxygen,
thank you, Lord Jesus,
that you may have a child that's alive, but you're going to have a child that's has mentally retarded or going to have some kind of serious problems in their physical body from the lack of oxygen.
The midwife was pretty shook up. She didn't know what to do, and so she said, you've got to take this baby to a hospital and get her checked out. And we said, sure, we can do that. So Don called an ambulance, and they took her, and she was checked out, and they said she was perfect and fine. Nothing was wrong with her. And then they said, why'd you bring her in? And he said she wasn't breathing. And that changed the whole story. They said, well, you've got to leave her here for observation then, because that's not good. And he said, no, you said that she was fine. I'm going to take her home. So he had to sign all these release papers so they wouldn't be responsible for anything. But he brought her home, and that by then it was the evening, and I held two babies in my arms, and I slept all night with two babies.
Now looking back on it, if we had been in a hospital in the situation that we had faced, when you have a stillborn child, immediately they take that child away. There would have been they wouldn't realize it was a spiritual thing. It would all have been a physical thing. There would be no opportunity to pray, no opportunity for the Lord to do a work or to perform the miracle. It would just been taken away from us. So it was, the Lord in His foreknowledge knows all things. He knew what was going to transpire. He knew where we needed to be. And because my wife was listening, we were in the right place at the right time to see the right thing transpire.
It was 3 days after their birth that we had sat down with, I gave Don a list of all the names I liked, and he picked a couple. Vicky Renee means victorious rebirth for Vicky. And then for Vita, we just said, there's got to be something really special for Vita that would be a story that would tell something about who she is and where she's been, what happened to her. So we looked at different words, different names for life, and Vita is life in Latin. And we said, this is it, Vita Michelle. Even now, she gets asked about her name, and she's able to share what happened to her. And, you know, people don't hear that story very often, that that someone who is stillborn and not breathing for 8 minutes has no birth defects. Nothing wrong with them, just perfect in every way. And that can only be God.
Singing hallelujah. Singing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah.
Sing it to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's stand to our feet and sing it to Him.
I know that you've enjoyed that video. I tell you, praise God for Jesus. If it hadn't have been for Jesus, our whole experience as friends of Don and Wendy, of course, their experience would have been totally different. Imagine losing your own daughter, but because of Jesus, she was raised from the dead. And you know, this fits perfectly with what we've been teaching here on the subject of healing, especially the teaching that I gave about spiritual authority. See, God has given us the power to execute His healing and to see people heal. But it doesn't happen independent of us. It's not a matter of us praying and begging and pleading with God and then God sends His power in response to us. But before you even had a sickness, a disease, a situation in your life, God has already given you power and authority as a believer. And there's many things involved in healing, but one of these critical issues is that you have to take that authority. Recognize that God is not the one who has put the sickness in your life. He didn't cause it. He hasn't allowed it. It's either a natural reason, there are physical reasons why things happen, or sometimes it's demonic in its origin. But whatever, you are the one that has the authority, and you have to stand up and speak to these things and command them to come to pass. You know, just as Don began to start speaking the name of Jesus, well, I thought that was powerful. The way that our television crew here took not only their testimony about what happened, but then brought in the actual audio sound that they taped during that thing, and you were able to hear Him start commanding life back into that body of that baby. You know, in the same way, you have to take that authority and speak. You have to use the power that God's given you. And I just want to encourage you. I know that there could be some people watching this broadcast who you have had a child, maybe stillborn, or you've lost a child, or it doesn't have to be a child. It could be anybody that you love through death. And you maybe have taken this in a way that you're somehow or another condemned. So you're saying that if I had have just done this, these things would have happened. I actually had a Bible college student that had a grandchild die. And when they first heard us give this testimony and talk about the power that we have, she got very upset and even condemned and angry and hurt, thinking that she failed God and failed her kids in not raising her daughter from the dead. That's not what we are communicating at all. You know what? You can't do something that you don't have revelation of. We aren't out to condemn anybody who's experienced failure in the past. But I believe that if you can't go beyond whatever has happened in your life and rejoice with someone who did see success, and who did see the power of God manifest. And if you can't take that and be an encouragement to you that next time you need to stand and use your authority, then something is really wrong. There's something that hasn't been resolved. There's some hurts and pains there that haven't been dealt with. We aren't trying to condemn anybody. We aren't saying that if you haven't seen every person raised from the dead, something's wrong with you. But we are trying to tell you today that God has raising from the dead power that He has placed on the inside of every one of us. And as we renew our minds and as we grow in the Lord, we can intervene and we can see people raised from the dead. You know, I fully anticipate that because of this program and because of this testimony and because of the things that we've been teaching here on the subject of healing, that there will be people raised from the dead. I believe that. I've seen three people raised from the dead personally that I've been involved with. Of course, Don, I had one friend who has seen eight people raised from the dead, two people in one service, people in airports. I personally know over 38 people who have raised other people from the dead. And when you consider that in the Bible there's only a total of eight accounts, I think nine if you include the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, but a total of eight or nine people in the Bible raised from the dead, and the very fact that I know 38 people who have been raised from the dead or have raised someone from the dead, that's just amazing. We are living in a day of the power of God. You aren't going to hear this reported on your average broadcast because you know what? They don't want to confront this. They're going to look for some reason. They were only in a coma. They weren't clinically dead or we're operating in deception. But the truth is that the power of God is available today. And this testimony has brought it home. It's no longer doctrine. It's no longer theory. Here is a personal live example. And you're either going to have to acknowledge this and possibly adjust or change your theology, or you're just going to have to brand Don and Wendy, their children, their friends, eyewitnesses of this. You're going to have to brand them an absolute liar and a deceiver. And I believe many of you aren't willing to do that. You're going to have to confront this. And I hope that you'll make the right decision and recognize that Jesus is alive today and that He's wanting to move in your life.
Today is the day to have a relationship with the Lord. Today is the day to walk with Him. Today is the day to draw near to Him. Today is the day, because whatever you're filled with, that's what's going to come out of you in the time of crisis. And I thank God that God had prepared me without even ever thinking about anything going wrong with our childbirth. That wasn't what I was all about. It was all about Him. It was all about a relationship with the Lord. It was all about walking with Him. It wasn't about anything else. But out of that, God met me in my time of need. God met me when the enemy would come in like the flood. The Spirit of the Lord lifted up a standard and brought forth this miracle.